Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we come, Lord, before you this morning. In humility, O God, and in the fear of the Lord, knowing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for your love for us. And Lord, you're having come down to this hour to take us out of here, this pest house. Be with us, Father, as we begin a new series this morning on Satan's Eden. And we look to the thoughts that came forth from the lips of your anointed prophet, William Branham, and taking them back to the Scripture. Help us, O God, to understand the day and the condition which we live so that we will not be deceived. And Lord, may you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your word. Give us your wisdom and understanding of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to begin a new series on Satan's Eden. And I have to be very honest with you. I had a hard, very hard time beginning because I didn't see a whole lot in my natural, and so I just had actually about five paragraphs of Brother Branham's, and that's about as far as I could get. And then last night when I entered my study, and everything just started to open up, and we didn't even get past one paragraph in the study. So this morning we're going to begin this study, which is Brother Branham's sermon, Satan's Eden, which began. He actually preached it. Now I've got the wrong day. I got yesterday's date up there, but it should be today's day is 29th, right? And Brother Branham preached this on the 29th of August in 1965, so that's 66 years ago. But I believe it'd be a timely series for this hour, and because the nations have shut down and they shut off the light of the glorious gospel from the people, and sometime soon God's message of mercy will turn to judgment if that has not already begun to take place, and we very well could be sitting in the pre-tribulation times. So let us bow our heads this morning again, and we're just going to, instead of myself praying, I want you to just bow your heads. I'm going to read you Brother Branham's prayer, and then that's what we're going to focus on this morning. All right, let's bow our heads. Let us bow. Dear God, we're grateful to you tonight for this grand opportunity to come again in the name of the Lord Jesus to meet our enemy, your enemy, out here on the field of battle with the word to drive him away from the midst of your people that they might see tonight, Lord, the gospel light. I pray that you'll anoint our eyes with eye salve that it might be opened to the truth, that we might leave here saying within our hearts, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the road? Heal the sick and the afflicted, encourage the discouraged, lift up the feeble hands that once hung down, and may we look to the coming of the Lord Jesus, which we believe is at hand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then he said, be seated. Now, in this first paragraph, Brother Branham spoke words which were in prayer, but were actually quoting Scripture from several different places and passages of Scripture. You can see them in the red. Anoint our eyes with eye salve. That's Revelation 3:20. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the road. That's in the Gospel of John. Lift up feeble hands that once hung down. These are things that we find in the Scripture. Now, in the first place, when he mentioned our using the Word of God to stand up against the enemy, he is paraphrasing and not specifically quoting Scripture, where Jesus used the Word to combat Satan, where Satan would quote the Word of God and Jesus would say, it is also written. This showing us how to take on the devil's ourself, for Christ was our example. Now, this morning, it's going to be a very simple message, but there's going to be a lot of Scripture. I've got probably, I think, close to 90 Scriptures for you this morning. So, but I'm going to break it down, and there's 82 Scriptures where actually in the Bible it says it is written. And so we're going to look at those and see how the different prophets, the different apostles, the different gospel writers, they all quoted from the scripture. Now, in Luke 4 and 1, we read, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Now, isn't it interesting that the temptation didn't come until after he got the Holy Ghost? I remember as a young football player, and when God anointed me with the Holy Ghost, I saw stuff that I never saw before. I mean, you know, just the way people were dressed and things like that, just it bothered me. Like, and I thought, how can this be? You know, I've received this Holy Spirit, and now I think my mind is worse than it was before because I see things that I didn't see before. Well, that's just the way it is. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward was hungry. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answering him said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, notice the devil didn't use scripture there. He just said, you know, command this bread to be made, or command this stone to be made into bread. And Jesus said, "But it's written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Jesus quoting scripture. Then the devil, taking him up on the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it." In other words, he's saying, look, it's all been given to me. I've got it. You want it? You can have it. All you got to do is, if thou shalt worship me, all of this shall be thine. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's offensive. "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." Notice again, Jesus going back to the word for his defense. Now the devil, not a stupid man, he learns from Jesus defeating his temptations thus far by the word. So he uses the word to try to get Jesus away from the word. And so he says in verse 9, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written." See, up to this time he was just given these statements, thinking that he could tempt him by hunger, tempt him by wealth. But now he says, okay, let's go to the word. "For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Now notice, Satan's temptation is not according to scripture. He's using scripture, but it's not rightly divided in order to try to persuade Jesus. The reason why I say Satan's temptation was not according to scripture is because according to the scripture, he quotes, it never says to put God to the test. It simply says in Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." But Jesus does not fall for this trick and uses scripture rightfully divided to counter the use of scripture wrongly divided by the devil. Verse 12, "And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Now notice, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:16, where Moses said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did Messiah, or as you did at Massa." And Jesus said, "It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. Now, notice what Jesus said to him. He basically said, do not put God to the test, for God is not obligated to change the laws of gravity just because someone decides to jump off a cliff. God is not obligated to save someone just for the sake of saving him, that person, from harm. God has laws, and those laws must be obeyed. For the law of the Lord is the word of the Lord, is the word of God, and God's actions are governed by his own laws that God has already established, and he won't change those laws because you want to put him to the test. In fact, you are not supposed to test the Lord, as we heard Jesus tell Satan. See, too many people said, well, you know, God's going to save us all from this thing, and we're going to have a great revival, and God's going to be the... No, he's not. He already told us what's going to happen. We know the end from the beginning. It's our duty to watch the vision and place ourselves in our role that he has for us And that is to be mature sons of God. Sit back. Don't get involved with the play unless God tells you to get involved. All right? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Notice I highlighted, he taught. In other words, he went back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word. It's all about the Word. Now, what do you suppose he taught in their synagogues? He read the Scriptures to them. And then he expounded upon what he read. What do you think we do every Sunday? Read the Scripture, read what the prophet said, and then we expound upon it. That is a pattern for every minister of every age, as we will show you this morning. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as is his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And what do you suppose he read to them? He read to them from the Word of God, as all prophets and all ministers of the Lord have been doing throughout all the ages. You know, this modern religion where they come and sing for an hour or more and then give a little talk is not biblical. It's a Satan kind of worship. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Jesus didn't come just to read a scripture. He came to bring the manifested word to them. The difference between us and them, Brother Bassett, they can read the same Bible you're reading, but they can't see the manifestation of it. Jesus brought the manifestation of what he read. Now, in this first paragraph, Brother Bram goes right to the heart of this sermon, showing us that when we battle with the enemy, we have one weapon, and that is the Word of God. For by the Word we defeat our enemy, just as Jesus defeated Satan by the Word. From his sermon, God identifying himself, Brother Bram said, what if Moses would have went down in Egypt and said, well, we're going to build a big ark. We're going to float out of the country. The Nile is going to come up. They'd look back in the scroll, and there's no promise of that. That's right. But you see, he identified himself as God's prophet for what he said come to pass. Then they know he had the word of the Lord. Pharaoh had spears, but Moses had the word. So when they got to the sea, the spears all went under the sea, and Moses took Israel across the sea on dry land because he had the word. And he was the word for that hour. Moses was the word made manifest for that hour. Elijah was the word made manifest for that hour. Christ is the word made manifest. And the promise that he made, a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, for I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. He promised these things. What is it? It's the characteristic of God displaying his word like he did in all ages. Now I'm trying to tell the people since about 2007, that's what, 14 years now, that we know Brother Branham was the Word made flesh. He was Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, etc. But you are the Word since then. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Those sons of God who were ordained before the foundations of the world for the adoption of sons. You are the sons that are to be manifested as sons. You are Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living it, not I, but Christ living in me. You see, there is a word for you. And it's up to you to recognize that word and then act upon it. We find the word, it is written, over 80 times in the Bible. Actually, I found 82, but actually, there's 80 that says it is written, and then there's some others that actually quote the scripture. But mostly in the New Testament, But there are quite a few in the Old Testament as well. So let's just take a stroll through the New Testament and see for ourselves how it is essential in all of our trials and testings to go to the Word of God, as we have more than 80 examples of how to do this in the Word of God. So for starters, let's go to the first book in the New Testament, which is the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll begin at chapter 2. Now, you know, you might think, well, this is easy. You could just do a thing and just put it all down. And listen, I had to also look up where they were quoting from. All right? And that was a good exercise for me. I think it would be a good exercise for all of you as well. What's in black, you see, is actually where they're quoting from. So in Matthew 2 and 5, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now remember, Bethlehem of Judea is where the Messiah was to be born. Micah 5 and 2 tells us the Messiah will come from Bethlehem of Judea. Matthew 4 and 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, where was it written? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. In Matthew 4 and 6, he reads, or he says, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, this is Satan talking to Jesus, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now notice, we've already spoken of this by Satan, who began to use the Word of God himself to try to put Jesus to the test, and he quoted Psalm 91:11. Matthew 4 and 7, Jesus said unto them, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we've already shared with that. Now, I'm going to share, that'll come up again. Matthew 4 and 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Exodus 34 and 14. In Matthew 11 and 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. That's found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. In Matthew 21:13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. We find that in Isaiah 56 and 7, and Jeremiah 7 and 11. In Matthew 26 and 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto you that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. That's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Matthew 26 and 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. We find that in Zechariah 13 and 7. Now let's go back, and let's go to the second book in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark. And we find in chapter 1, verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before my face, thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. Again, Malachi 3 and 1. Mark 7 and 6, he said and answered unto me, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Isaiah 29 and 13. Mark 9 and 12, we read, and he answered and told them, Elijah must first come and restore all things, Malachi 4, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. That's Isaiah 53, 3-12, and Psalms 2 and 2, 22 and 1, and 69 and 21. Again, in Mark 9 and verse 13, but I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, and it is written of him. That's also Malachi chapter 3. Mark chapter 14 and 21, the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born again. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 2 to 3. In Mark 14, verse 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Again, Zechariah 13 and 7. Now we'll go to the third gospel, which is the Gospel of Luke. And we read in Luke 2 and 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Again, quoting from Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. In Luke 3 and 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, Malachi 3 and 1. Now, why are we quoting, and why are they quoting all these scriptures? They're quoting these scriptures because they're pointing to the manifestation of those scriptures. Now, we have a lot of things going on out there in the world today. And, you know, there's scriptures that pointed to those things. That's why we take those things and we take what's happening in the world and we bring right back to the scriptures or right back to a vindicated prophet and what he said in reference to those scriptures. You see, when you know the scriptures, you can't be buffaloed. When you know the scriptures, you won't be deceived. Most of the world today is deceived. People are starting to wake up. And I'm not talking about the woke people. Those people are more asleep than anything. They're not woke. They're slumbering. Now, Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's Deuteronomy 8:2-3. Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Exodus 34:14. Luke 4:10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Psalm 91:11. Luke 7:27, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before me. Again, Malachi 3:1. You notice many of the Gospels are quoting the same scriptures. Luke 19:46, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Isaiah 56:7. Luke 24:46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's Psalm 16:10. Now, let's go to the fourth gospel in the New Testament, which would be the Gospel of John. John 6:31, our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. That's Exodus 16:4-21. Again, John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's Isaiah 54:13. John 12:14, and Jesus said, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it was written. In other words, Jesus did this, and that was the manifestation of what was written, which is Zechariah 9:9. Acts 1:20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. That's Psalm 109:8. Acts 7:42, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Well, that's at Amos 5:25. From Acts 15:15, we read, and to this agree the words of the prophet as it is written. And I forgot to put down the, because there was actually a paragraph before that, or a sentence before that. So, Acts 23:5, then Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. That's Exodus 22:28. It says the very same thing, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, which is Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 2:24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, and as it is written in Isaiah 52:5. Okay. Romans 3:4, for God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. That's Psalm 51:4. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, which we find in Psalms 14:1-3 and Psalms 53:1-3. They're almost identical phrases. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's Genesis 17, which God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Romans 8:36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, which we find in Psalm 44:22. Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, which we find in Malachi 1:3. Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, which we find in Isaiah 28:16. Number 40, Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings to good things, which is Isaiah 52:7. Romans 11:8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that should not hear unto this day, which you find in Deuteronomy 29:4, Jeremiah 5:21, and Ezekiel 12 and 2. Now, remember, Jeremiah is quoting Moses, and Ezekiel is quoting Jeremiah and Moses. Romans 11, 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, which is Isaiah 59 and 20. Romans 12, 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, which is Deuteronomy 32 and 35. So that should really quell some of our thinking in this hour, you know, that you'd like to get, I mean, you know, don't even think about it. Just let, you know, God is here to judge, and God is going to bring hailstones 100 pounds heavy on these people that are doing what they're doing. So just leave it up to God. You know, your little pea shooters could mean nothing compared to 100-pound hailstones, which would take down a plane, take down satellites, take down everything. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Okay, we read that Deuteronomy 32 and 35. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Isaiah 45:23. Romans, and what, you know, if you would like, just go ahead and, when you get home, just print this off, and you'll have all of these handy, because, and you could probably even go in your Bible and just put the mark where those are at. Romans 15:3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Psalm 69:9. Romans 15:9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Psalm 18:49. Romans 15:21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's Isaiah 52 and 15. Okay, we go to 1 Corinthians then, 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, which we find in Jeremiah 9:24-26. 1 Corinthians 1:19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, which we find in Isaiah 29 and 14. Now, and number 50, all right. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, promised in Isaiah 64. And remember also in Isaiah, I think 64 or 65, is, and all of thy offspring with them. So this promise is for us. Number 51, 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, which is Job 5:13. 52, 1 Corinthians 9:9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen? And that's Deuteronomy 25:4. 1 Corinthians 10:7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Exodus 32:6. 1 Corinthians 14:21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people, and yet for all that will, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 28:11. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's Genesis 2:7. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Psalms 116:10. 2 Corinthians 8:15, as it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack, which we find in Exodus 16:18. 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, and he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Psalm 112:9. Number 59, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Deuteronomy 27:26. Number 60, Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Deuteronomy 21:23. And number 61, Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. Genesis 6:2, and 16 and 2, 16 and 5, and then 21:1-3. Galatians 4:27, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband, which was spoken first in Isaiah 54:1. And then number 63, in Hebrews 10:7, we read, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. We find it in Psalms 40:7-8. Number 64, 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We find that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11:44-45, chapter 19:2, and chapter 20:7. Now, that was quite a list of New Testament, from the New Testament, where the apostles and Jesus himself all quote from the scriptures. And that ought to tell us the importance of standing with the Word of God, for it is our defense in times of trouble. Now, when we go to the Old Testament, we'll not hear Moses say it, it is written, for God used him to write the first five books of the Bible. But from Joshua on, through all the prophets, we find them pointing back to what Moses said. And remember, Moses said in Deuteronomy 4, so now, chapter 4, verse 1, now Israel, hear the decrees and the laws that I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving to you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it. Sounds like the Apostle Paul. But keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you people who followed the Baal Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. That's a warning for this hour. Because remember, we are about to cross the Jordan as well. We are about to cross over to the promised land of the millennium. I've taught you decrees and laws of the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and an understanding people. Now, listen. We bypassed our theophany, but we're still being instructed by the Word. And he says, take the Word you're being instructed in now, and you're going to live that Word when you get to the land of promise. What you are hearing in church all these years is to get you prepared for living over there. You're not going to wake up one day on the other side and say, okay, now I'm going to be the perfect Christian. You're going to be the perfect Christian here, or you're not going to be over there as a perfect Christian. And how you become the perfect Christian? By putting it all in God's hands. Because it's all about grace. It's not about perfection in this flesh. It's about in here, brother, sister. If the Word of God is not living and abiding in here, you just have a religious spirit on you. He says, see, I taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me. 40 years they got instructed. 40 years. So that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about these decrees and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way that our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I am setting before you today? Now this, brother, sister, if you don't see this manifested in your life, I will get to my knees. He says, what other nation is there that would have their God so close to them as we have our God, who when we go to pray, God hears our prayers and acts upon them? I'll never forget when I was just a young minister, and maybe I think it was around 1983. I started pastoring in 82. And I was 30 years old in 83. And so I was sitting at my office, and I was driving from Bloomington, Indiana, over to over by, Steve, you remember the place over there on the hill? That's when you first started coming? Yeah. And I remember it was late. It was about almost 5 o'clock, and we had a huge storm come through. And it was just like a tsunami, you know, just like a, what do they call those things in the desert? They come through and they're big raindrops and everything else. Not tsunami, but what do they call it? Huh? Well, not a flash. No, I'm talking about the results. I'm talking about the rain itself. What do they call that every winter time in Arizona? They have those kind of a tropical. Huh? Yeah, monsoon. It was like a monsoon. I mean, the rain was just pouring huge drops and everything else. And I remember I was a senior buyer at Otis Elevator, and Gary Morgan was the other senior buyer, and he came up to me, come over to my desk. And everybody's waiting because we couldn't go to our cars. And Brian said, I know that God answers your prayers when you pray. He said, would you ask him to stop the rain long enough for us to get to our cars? And I said, sure. And I said, Father, I said, you heard the desire of these people. And I said, so I'm just asking you that you would make yourself known to them, that you are still here. And I said, would you just stop the rain long enough for the people to get to their cars so they can go home? And just like that, the rain stopped, and it was stopped for about 5-10 minutes, and people all got in their cars, and we're all out of the parking lot, and then it started raining again. God is a God of a manifested word. And he says, what other nation is there, what other peoples are there that are confident their God is near them? And when they pray, God will answer. You see? This is our life. It's all about, it's our entire life, brother, sister. We have a God who's not way up there someplace and too busy to answer. He loves you, and he's like a father watching over his kids. Even when the kids get older, he's still watching over the kids. He's our father. He says, but only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. That's your grandchildren. Many of us in here today have that opportunity to teach your grandchildren the things that we taught our children. Also, I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6 so you can see the emphasis God places on his word for each family to teach diligently to their children and their children's children that we might enter into the land of God, the land that God has set aside for us, because the kingdom of God is his word made manifest. Now, from Deuteronomy 6 and 1, these are the commands, the decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed to me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all these decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may live, that you may enjoy long life. Well, what if you don't teach your children the commands of God, the Word of God? Can't expect long life. The very purpose for the commands being taught to us and instructing us is to keep and preserve life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with thee, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are first of all to be upon your heart. Then you are to wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach them and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. Talk about them when you sit at the home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Like Brother Branham would do with his children. They'd be driving down the road. They'd go out for a Sunday afternoon drive. He'd turn on a radio program. He'd say, now, I'm going to test you. And he put on a preacher for 5 minutes. He'd turn it off. Say, now, what denomination is that preacher? And if they got it right, then he'd go to the next one. Turn another station on, put another preacher, and say, what denomination is that preacher? Because by your words, you identify who you are. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to give you your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, as you did at Massah. I remember that's exactly what Jesus told Satan. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may be well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before the Lord, before you, as the Lord said. Okay. So the first one in the Old Testament to point to the word which had been written. Okay, now remember, Moses didn't point to the word because he wrote it. All right? But the first one to point back to what Moses had written was Joshua, the minister of Moses. In Joshua 8:31, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Now, I'm not going to quote, I didn't have time actually to get into and just show you where Moses said these things, but these are, I'm just going to quote you in the Old Testament. In fact, these are we find it also in 2 Kings, just to save a little bit of time. We find it in 2 Chronicles as it is written. We find 2 Chronicles again as it is written. Again, Chronicles in Ezra, in Nehemiah, in Psalms, in Isaiah, in Daniel, in Samuel. All right. Now, remember, we're speaking this morning on the subject that God's Word is our protection. And from the sermon, World Falling Apart, Brother Bram says, God will not save the world by an organization or a system. He'll save it by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Word made manifest. It's the promises of God made manifest. Yes, sir. We've taken our traditions and made the Word of God of none effect. Just like we did in the days that when Jesus come. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. God promised to supply our needs, not our wants. We're always wanting something, but we want it in our own way. Well, you say, well, I want that. Well, Lord, send us this and send us that. God knows our needs. That's exactly right. He knows our needs. Now, notice he says, he's given you his word. Be watching for the manifestation of that word. That's your protection. We have known since 97, in fact, before then, Brother Brown said it in the 60s, what was coming on the earth. That's your protection. Have you heard it and recognized it and then acted upon it? The word is our defense. As we see in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Righteous is those who do right. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of those who are rightly wise. But the Lord delivereth out of them all. From take on the whole armor of God, Brother Bram says, John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. What is it? It's God in the church in these five predestinated offices, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he lives. And all these religions are dead. All other religions are dead. Their forms are dead. There's only one that's right, and that's Christianity, because Christ is a living in the church of Christ, amen, making his word manifest, for he is the same. And if it's the same word, it'll do the same thing and show the same works and the same signs. Matthew 28 says so. Be with his army. And them securing, think of it, the great word general triumph in us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's president of the United States, than he that's the top general in the United States. Greater is he that's in you. Don't fear those people. Don't fear what they're doing. just like what took place in Egypt, all the plagues, all the things were happening. Look at the children in Goshen. They were held in the palm of God's hand. You say, well, what about this person or this person? Forget about that. Because then you're going to start judging whether they were Christ or not. Don't think about it. Think about you. Does he have you in the palm of his hand? Or are you just kind of out there taking your chances? From looking for Jesus, they said the signs of Mark 16 is said today that that was just for the disciples. Sounds like this day. Why, Jesus said, preach the gospel unto all the world, and these signs shall follow them onto all the world. Everywhere the same sign, same gospel will be preached. Everywhere. The same sign, same gospel will be preached. We've had tracts passed out all over the world, but the gospel hasn't been preached to a third of it yet. The gospel is not just the word only, but it's the word made manifest, the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit bringing the word to pass. I could make some personal comments here, but I'll bypass them for now. But I have personally seen the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit in many countries I've gone to. From the inner man, he said, and that Jehovah God that created all those things brought himself down to live in the heart of you and I. Before he did, he had to clean his road. He had to show them law and commandment. Then he had to come down and show them love and then break his way right in the heart of men. And now God is in us, that's right. Now we are his hands on earth. We are his eyes on earth. We are his gospel on earth. And the gospel is not together by the word. The word made manifest is the gospel. The gospel come not in word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, going into all the world and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit to all nations. Now, instead of that, we begin to teach theology. And we've had 2,000 years and two-thirds of the earth has never heard of Jesus Christ. Two-thirds of the earth don't know one thing about Jesus Christ. Now think of it. Well, you say, that's over in the heathen lands. That's almost in the United States of America. From taking on the whole armor of God, he said, it's appealing. Now he makes it again. Now listen, why are we preaching this sermon this morning? Because if you don't know the word, you will be deceived in this hour. And if the word is not living in you and abiding in you, you will be deceived. You have got to become the gospel. You've got to become that word. Nothing that you can do but letting go and letting God. Dying to self and letting God take over. He will warn you of things coming up so that you can sidestep them. Too many people put themselves out in the forefront and they say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, you're not going to do nothing. Those people that do that, and I feel for them, but those people that do that find themselves with the bullet. Like what's happening in Afghanistan. People being executed. I've seen clips of it. They just line them up, shoot them in the back of the head. Why do they shoot them in the back of the head? Because they're cowards. They don't want to look in their eye and look at the person they're sending off to that other dimension. They don't want to look at them because they're afraid. They're fearful people. So it's easy. It's a cowardly thing to shoot somebody in the back of the head. Now, from taking on the whole armor of God, Brother Brown said, it's appealing. Now, he makes it again. He makes it educational, intellectual. Did not the Holy Ghost tell us in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter that in the last days it would become an intellectual group in the church? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. Well, you say them's are communists. Oh, no, them's are so-called Christians. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and the power is the word made manifest. So the gospel come to us not through the word only, but through power and demonstration of the Spirit. I'm speaking of the army of God now, fortified. I believe you people are more fortified than most because the word, I don't know if there's anybody in this church and those viewing who are not seeing what's happening out there and seeing it right back in the Bible. You are seeing the manifestation of what is written. That fortifies you. You see? The Word of God made manifest is the power of the Holy Ghost. From C. Not Air with Chuck, he said, that's the way with the people who profess Christ. Many of them look like Christians, try to act like Christians. But you've got to have Christ on the inside of you, which is the Word made manifest. Or it'll never mature into a real Bible-believing Christian. It'll always be a denominational something. It cannot live because there's no life in it to live. An egg cannot hatch. It rots right in the nest if it hasn't been with the male bird. Just like members of the church, you can baby them and call them and make them deacons and everything else, but you have a nest full of rotten eggs unless they've mated with the mate. That's right. From the spoken words of original seed, Brother Ramsey Moab, what happened? When Balaam went down there, he built seven altars just exactly like they had. Don't talk on them fundamentally, because you had better know what you're talking about. Jesus said it would be almost deceive the very elected. It's spiritually revealed. If you catch it, then it's the Word, and you see the Word made manifest. Now look, if you catch it, it's the Word, and you see that Word made manifest. What if you don't catch it? Then all it is the Word in this Bible. Now look here, they was up there, and here was Moab. No doubt, but he was a bishop, sure, a great guy, and built seven altars. They put seven rams on it, speaking that he believed that there was coming a Messiah. Brother, if it come to fundamentalism, God had to recognize both of them. When Cain built an altar to the Lord, Satan's son built an altar to the Lord. He built the same kind of an altar that Abel built. They both worshipped. They both went to church. They both paid their dues. They both obligated. They got down and worshipped the same God, and one was received and the other was lost. My. Twins. 1 Kings 2 and 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, that's his word, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his word, and his commandments, that's again his word, and his judgments, again, that is his word, and his testimonies, what? That's his word. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou may prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thy way. Every decision you make should be based on the Word. Everything you say should be based on the Word. Everything you do. The Word of the Lord, His doxa, His opinions, His values and judgments are to prosper us in whatever endeavor we choose. You select a job, you base it on the Word. You say, well, how do I do it? Is it going to keep you out of church? If it does, you don't take that job. Planning a vacation? Well, I'm just going to get away for a while. Does it keep you from honoring the Sabbath? Does it keep you from gathering together? If you don't have a church to go to, I wouldn't go to where you're going. Or at least have a way to have your service. At least today it's a lot easier. You can put on your cell phone and listen to the message. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that is righteous, that's rightly wise. The one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way with that sinners take, nor sits in the company of the mockers, but whose delight is in the word of the Lord, and who meditates upon his word day and night. He should be like a tree that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers. Now, the Lord just put another thought in my mind. I just want to say it, because Brother Branham, whenever he went even hunting, he broke down. He did not hunt on Sunday, did not fish on Sunday, and he went to a church, he said, where he could get even a slice of bread. Many times it was a Baptist church or some type of church like that. And they went there to honor. When they moved to Tucson, there wasn't any message churches. And so every Sunday, he'd get the family up and say, we're going to church. And one day, Billy said, I'm not going. He said, yes, you are going. He said, why should I go there? They don't even acknowledge you, Dad. And he said, I'm not going there to be acknowledged. I am going to worship God. I'm there to honor the resurrection. Brother Branham had his family to go to places that even rejected his ministry in order, because that was the only place available, they went to honor the resurrection. All right. And he should be like a tree that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers. And another thought just came, and that's this. When the people were getting to the point where they were denying eating of meat, I told the brethren, I said, I don't care if all the world's meat is contaminated. I don't care if it's all poison. I will eat some just so that that scripture that says that they have doctrines of demons and abstaining from meat, I said, so that won't apply to me. You see? So it's up to God to have some meat somewhere that I can eat. Or I'll apply the scripture that says they shall take up, drink deadly things and it will not harm them. I'm not going to be labeled as having a doctrine of demon by not eating meat. Now, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf withers not, and whatsoever he does prospers. Mechanic, prospers. Nurse, prospers. Truck driver, prospers. Computer analyst, prospers. But not so for the wicked. They're like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is left to himself. Perish. You see, by learning God's word and meditating upon it and then talking to one another, we grow in that word. And it keeps us and it readies us for the battles and it gives us victory when those battles come. We read in Malachi 3:16-18, a promise from God to us that when we walk in His Word and talk to one another, we grow in discernment, and we will not be deceived when the times come. Then those who feared the Lord spake often one to another. They talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. On the day when I act, and this is the hour of the parousia, when He has come down to act with a shout, a voice of trump. On the day that I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. Sounds like He's going to spare those that are going to be adopted. And you will again see the distinction between, in other words, you will be able to discern who serves God and who does not. And you will see again, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. That is how God's word becomes our buckler and shield and our helmet of salvation and our full armor of God. So as you should see, we progress from showing where it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, to why it is written. And why we quote the scriptures. It's our buckler, it's our shield. It's our understanding the manifestation of the revelation. For as the Apostle Paul said, we are to put on the full armor of God, and it covers us from head to toe. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Well, boy, if they aren't scheming today, I don't know who is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And you know, we could talk about these world rulers who are pedophiles and Satanists and Luciferians, and you could talk to people who claim they're walking in the light and they think that you're nuts. They think that you are a conspiracy theorist. And my siblings, for years, I thought they thought I went off the deep end, but now they're saying the same things about those wicked people as I've been saying for 30 to 40 years to them. My sister, a devout Catholic, said to me, this Pope is Antichrist, and so are most of the cardinals. Now she's a devoted Catholic and does the daily Mass. Yeah, that's right. But she now sees it. And I said to her, I've been trying to tell you that for 40 years. And she said, yes, I know, you have. But now I can see it. You know, Cardinal Vigano, he just wrote another letter to President Trump. He calls him the real president. And he admits that the Pope is Antichrist. Yeah, so there are some people that are Catholic that are beginning to have their eyes opened. From the unveiling of God, Brother Brown said, in paragraph 121, we in him. Then we being in him, we are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See, our glory, remember, what's our glory? It's our doxa. It's actually his. That we have and are enjoying, we are still veiled to them outsiders. They think that we're crazy. And not again. See? That's right. But we who are in here, in Christ, baptized into him, 1 Corinthians 12, into him, we are partakers of this glory. See? But not on the outside. You're still looking in, denying it. See? So now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See? They know that glory. They read of it. It's the word in here. It's the word here of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them, but to us, it's a manifestation. See? It is no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word, but now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? You talk to people in this message, and you tell them that these people that are running things are Luciferians, they're Satanists, they're pedophiles, and they say, oh, don't talk like that. You don't want to hear the truth? That's what they are. And if you deny that that's what they are, you don't have the Word of God resident in your mind and in your soul. And you're not angry enough at what they're doing, and you're so, well, you know, that's, I guess, they're just not good people. No, it's more than just not good people. They're Luciferians. They do worship Lucifer. Why do you think that they would name the process of the vaccine Lucifer race and call it WO2020-06-06-06? They want to put a mark on the people and in the people. Now, were they inspired by Scripture? Satan was inspired by Scripture too, you know. Oh, yeah. It's time that you wake up. Call black, black. Call white, white. Call that which is not the word, Antichrist. To us, it's a manifestation. It's no more a word. It's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word. It's the light. See what I mean? From the unveiling of God, paragraph 122. Now, it isn't just a word to us. It's a reality. We are in him. Now we're enjoying him. Now we behold him. Now we see him and the word manifesting himself. It's hid out there. Because why? It's veiled in human flesh. See? Oh, they say that bunch of people, where they go to school. What education do they have? What do they come from? What group do they belong to? See? They don't get it. A man said to another man the other day, said, you have to belong to a denomination to be a Christian. He said, I am a Christian. I don't belong to any of them. Said, God taking this cancer out of me. He said, now, what do you think about that? It was a doctor. He said, show me the denominations doing it. See? All right. See? And it's still valid. Man that can turn on the light, he says, so is it in every age the word made manifest. Come to the light is the light of the age. There, the word made manifest. Just like it was in Genesis 1, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was light. When God said, let there be a sun, and there was a sun. That's S-O-N for those listening. When God said, Joel 2:28, It shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaids and maidservants will I pour out my spirit. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. And all these things that he promised when the Holy Ghost fell was a light upon that word. When the word was made manifest, then it became light. He is the light. He's the light that we should follow. He's the only light. The angels follow light and followed him, followed it to him. And from seed is not heir with a shuck. He said, see, here it is. There is no judgment to the royal, spiritual, predestinate seed of Abraham, for they are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice, which is Christ the Word. And there is therefore now no condemnation, St. John 5:24, if you want that scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 and 1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Romans 5:24, he that heareth my word, the word there is understandeth. Any drunkard, anything else can hear it and walk away. But he that heareth my word, understands my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Yes, sir. He that is this great mystery of God made known, understand, how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, how that he and the Father were one, how that the great mysteries of the fulfilling of God, taking and bringing himself, manifesting in the age of human beings and in the strain of human beings and in the company of human beings, to make his word manifested in the day and the eastern rising of the sun, and to do the same thing as the sun sets in the west. What's that? Alpha and Omega. To make himself manifested in the bride church, the word made manifest. See, it will be he that understandeth, that is to know, that's been revealed to him, of him that sent me, has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment. That's the tribulation, brother, sister, but has passed from death unto life. The bride bypasses the tribulation and the white throne. We'll be there judging. Why do you think he's left us here long enough to see all of this stuff and didn't take us maybe a few years ago before all this stuff came? We're going to be judging these people in Washington, these people in your neighborhoods, these people in your cities, in your counties, in your state. We'll be judging them. So do we passively put our heads in the sand and just... No. Not a judge won't do that. A judge looks at all the evidence. And he declares, you're either guilty or you're not guilty. From the unveiling of God, Jesus said, search the scriptures. You think that you have. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father God. Because the Word is the Father, and the Word is God. And the Word made manifest is God Himself, taking His own Word and manifesting it among believers. Nothing can make it live but believers, just believers. When the people saw those three rainbows, they saw God. From Shalom, the Jews returning to their land, the things that's taking place that is in this day would prevent me from halfway beginning to tell you what's taking place, but we see it. What is it? Word made manifest. What do you think the Hebrews did when they seen the Word made manifest with a promise? They got ready to leave the land. Can I read this again? What do you think of the Hebrews? What do you think the Hebrews did when they seen the Word made manifest with a promise? They got ready to leave the land. Why is it in this past year to 2 years that your eyes have all opened up and you see the Word be manifested almost on a daily basis? It's because you're getting ready to leave for the land of promise. If you're not ready today, friend, start this new year outright. Start with your hand in God's hand, God's word in your heart, saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know what part of the symphony that you want me to play. But at when that junction comes for me to be persecuted and laughed at or made fun of, I still take my stand with your symphony, will not be messed up because of me. I'll stay right with your word no matter what it is. I'll stay right there, and when death beats at my door, that's part of the symphony. I know then that just as sure as it beat death up to my door, the resurrection will beat out one of these days too, and you'll raise me up again. It's part of your symphony, Lord. Let me be part today, will you? And from Show Us the Father, getting ready to close here, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. If I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. How many times this week we went through that back and forth to show that he was the Word? So you see, nature, Word, Son, it's all coming to the same God, actually the same God, working in different channels. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. He was God, the Word. Every one of us believed that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus is the Son of God, that is the body, and God was the Spirit that dwelt in that tabernacle that he created for himself, a virgin body. That's the reason he said here, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He that seen me has seen the Father. In other words, you see the Father working through me. Me, God, is a Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. See, God is a Spirit. And here we find the Word being made manifest. In 1 John we find it, also in John 11. It says, and also in John 5:24, in many places, John 14, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Why? It's the Word made manifest in them. Now back to what Paul said in Ephesians 6:13, in closing. Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, are we there? Do you have the armor on? That you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of right wiseness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, Revelation, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for all of the Lord's people. And let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we do pray for your people everywhere, lifting up holy hands before your presence. I pray, Father, you touch them today. Help them to know that your Word is our buckler, your Word is our shield, your Word is our helmet, your Word is our breastplate. It's all about you and your Word, and you've given us your Word not for us to let it go in one ear and out the other, but you've given it to us to teach us how to live, so that when you take us from this pest house, we will live in that Word which you've given to us for all eternity. And we ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a long way to get there. A long way around. But I wanted to show you. That's why we covered all those scriptures. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And when you see things taking place out there, if the Holy Ghost is in here, you will see the Word manifesting out there. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep us.
I know whom I have believed. And am cursed.